Okay, next on the agenda is audience participation. Chuck.
Last time we, this group met, I, you know, talked rather emotionally about what was going on with the denial of payment for the medical air transport of my wife via Island Air pulmonary emboli. And so I wanted to just kind of summarize all of the steps that I've taken, pursuant to what Dr. Johnson is talking about, and it's going to hold a forum regarding. So the first thing that I think is important is to stay informed. The thing that started to tip me off that something was going on was an article in the journal about denials for air transport, I think sometime in January, and I have a copy of that. And so I started closely tracking the explanation of benefits, the ELBs. I think that's important for you to do. You get them in the mail, but if you track them online, you really can know what's going on, you know, 2 days to a couple of weeks early. And then when I got the denial, and this is what that explanation of benefits online tends to look like. So when I got the denial in mail, I was shocked but not surprised, because I already was beginning to think that this might turn out to be an issue. So I immediately went to work, because there's a 60-day clock that starts on the date on the denial, not the date of service, but the date of denial, which was actually several months after the date of service. And so I immediately accessed online to print out the various rules and forms for appeal and so on. Then I contacted the provider, and that's very important because generally speaking, the provider will be the party to file the appeal, especially on something like this sort of transport. When you get the transport, there's a signature you generate that assigns that to, in this case, Island Air. So I contacted them. I contacted Kaiser and ordered a copy of the medical records. As a representative, excuse me, of her, I had to fill out and submit an appointment of representative and authorization to release health information. And that allowed me to get the medical info, and I filed a grievance with Kaiser, and that is in process. I filed a complaint to the Washington State Insurance Commissioner. And in this case, excuse me, since this was Medicare, they referred it to SHEBA, which handles Medicare complaints. And so I have the complaint to the Washington State Insurance Commissioner and the referral to SHEBA. Then I further had to fill out and submit. See, Kaiser breaks it all up. So the Kaiser grievances, I did an AOR, the authorization representative, and medical record request to them. I had to do another one, separate forms, to the Kaiser appeals aspect of their organization, and that has been submitted. And but most importantly, I worked with Island Air, and they have a patient advocate, Stephen Pickett, who was very helpful, and I was helpful as I could be to him. Everything that I did, I forwarded to him. Everything he did, he forwarded to me, and it kind of helped us both. And so I would say definitely contact the provider and work closely with them, all right? And ultimately, I did get all the medical records, and I don't know that I will much directly need to use them myself. They're also available to the provider, and they filed the appeal. And this appeal went out just about 2 days ago. And he even sent me a draft of it early on, but then he said they were still working on it because they wanted to add the Mtala language, which apparently is quite important. So, there it is. I was able to get a copy of the appeal as filed. I didn't get, also apparently Dr. Heiner wrote a letter supporting the medical necessity, and there were some other forms that they submitted. In every respect, let's see, I contacted the Representative Larson's office, or I sent them an email, and they contacted me back directly. Laura Gelwitz, sorry, a community liaison, contacted me, and she indicated that she'd do everything she could, but they couldn't intervene in individual cases, but they were approaching this as a kind of a group, because they had other people from the islands contact them. So she's been helpful. Liza Cox of the Kaiser grievance process has been very helpful and sounding supportive. Who knows? I've also had contact with people in the Kaiser appeals office. They've been kind of in a workmanlike way helpful. And we'll see. And I mentioned that apparently several of these appeals have already been overturned. Or rather, several of these denials have already been overturned. So I'm helpful, hopefully. But it has required an enormous amount of effort and attention. And part of that is complicated by the fact that I am her representative, which means that there's a lot of additional paperwork that I've had to do to authorize me as her representative, as opposed to her trying to directly appeal this or take these actions. That's where I'm at. I'm hopeful. We'll see. I've gotten a great deal of help from the Island Air people, and I have gotten at least support from others. We'll see as to where Kaiser lands. What we have to recognize is that they are a for-profit business, that until and unless we redo our approach to health care in this country, my understanding is that Medicare has about a 3% overhead. In other words, the money that goes in to Medicare and what goes out to pay for healthcare, about 3% overhead. I have read that in the private insurance industry, it's 15 to 20%. And people say, oh, you know, single payer government healthcare would be too expensive. We're already paying that money. In what we paid for insurance when we were employed, what our employers paid for that insurance, what we continue to pay as retirees for Medicare and Medicare supplemental plans. It's not free after you, you know, get old. You still have to pay every month. And so, but that's a different issue entirely. But that's where things stand. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Chuck. I have one question. You mentioned a 60-day window.
Yes.
In which you file an appeal. If you miss that 60-day window, does that mean you have no other recourse? Do you know?
I think you can appeal that as well. But as far as it being, the structure is set up for 60 days, and I've got somewhere in here. Here we go. Coverage and claims appeals. This is the stuff that you'll find online if you go. It includes the rules and the forms and the so on, which are designed if you are appealing it yourself. All right. And in this case, Island Air is doing the real work on this. And this, see, this is the final form of the appeal. It's two pages referring to Medicare benefit policy manuals about ambulance service and the EMTALA, which is very important, with a federal law which has been in place since 1986 that covers such things as transport, and also then the appropriate transfer, and I'll read this. A, in which the transferring hospital provides medical treatment within its capacity, which minimizes the risk to the individual's health, and in the case of a woman in labor, the health of the unborn child, and B, in which the receiving facility has available space and qualified personnel for the treatment of the individual and has agreed to accept transfer of the individual and to provide appropriate medical treatment. And basically, if those conditions are there and a physician has deemed it necessary and appropriate, they should not be able to deny.
And may I say that does not have to be an in-network facility. Kaiser has a program for coordination to transfer to their in-network facilities. Doctors do their best to work with that. But if they don't have the capacity or the capability, it is still the duty of the transferring physician to transfer to a hospital that does. And that duty, not fulfilling that duty, would be cause for an EMTALA complaint against the transferring hospital. Therefore, the transferring hospital has no choice in the matter. Kaiser's choice not to pay for it is strictly theirs and their liability.
And the physician on duty who ordered that signed a form indicating this was medically necessary. And then Dr. Heiner reviewed that and has added his opinion that it was an appropriate transfer for multiple pulmonary emboli in both lungs. And while she was stable in terms of her vitals at the time of the transfer, that is the sort of thing that can go south very quickly. And they pointed out in the final draft of this appeal that it would add about 4 hours to the transport, and if an emergency, the further emergency occurred while aboard the ferry, it would be very difficult to quickly get her appropriate treatment. So,
would add 4.5 hours because all the ferries are running a half hour late.
No delay, no disparate treatment. Fundamental.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Chuck.
Excuse me just one moment, please. The bylaws require that the board recording secretary keep the clock, and we have reached 15 minutes for audience participation. And you can choose to do what you want with that.
Well, I hate to cut the public off, but my recommendation is that we would extend it. What does the board feel? Dr. Moore? Rebecca?
I think we already made that commitment when you said you're going to let, early on in the meeting, when you said you'd let Chuck go as long as he wanted to. I agree to go on.
My general philosophy is not to cut people off. Yeah. We have rules because some people really like to take advantage of it, but Chuck or the rest of the folks are not among them. So, Karen?
I'll be brief, but I'd like to say a couple of words about the supervising physician and that position. When Katie Holstein was here last month, here in Friday Harbor, she reminded us that EMS is not an independent practitioner, and EMS requires medical oversight, and we all know that, and that's fine. I'd like, because there's been such a lot of discussion about medical oversight and the MPD position for the last year, 18 months, and we now, and it's been a problem. We now have a supervising physician in Dr. Haysloop. I would like to urge the commissioners who are responsible to make sure that EMS is following the law, that the commissioners invite Dr. Haysloop to report to them, perhaps quarterly, on what she's seeing, what kind of progress she's seeing, what kind of problems there are, whether there are issues in the relationship between EMS and the MPD or the supervising physician. A quarterly meeting with her is not too much to ask, I think, and I urge you to consider that.
Thank you, Karen. Richard?
I have a letter I'd like to present to you, and in the interest of time, I won't read it. I will just tell you very briefly. The gist of it is, it's signed by several people, that we believe you will be derelict in your duty to the taxpayers if you, in your executive session, authorize the severance payment to the chief before the Department of Health investigations are complete. We're aware that your attorney has told you it's too late for you to take any action. We believe that advice is highly suspect because your attorney has a conflict of interest in that he also represents the employee who's under investigation. And that isn't just our opinion, the people who signed this. I bounced it off a couple of attorneys who said, it sure looks like a pretty clear conflict of interest situation. So I hope you will take the time to read this before you go into your executive session.
Mr. Grout.
There's copies there for everybody.
Sure.
John Gavin.
I have a brief question which fits with Dr. Johnson's plan for on air transport. And also with the long period that Karen brought up, where EMS was practicing under the license of Dr. Sullivan, but
John Diamond,
and in the, but also in the current situation where we have two new hospital districts, Lopez and Orcas, he does run reviews there too. He hasn't done run reviews here for a long time. In the context of looking, and I know in talking with him in the past, it would be good if there was some common approach to medevac in each of the districts. So in what way will Dr. Sullivan be involved in discussions with this district going forward?
Well, first of all, he's countywide MPD, so by definition, he's intrinsically involved.
Right. Would he be involved with run reviews here?
Yes. My understanding is He oversees them.
Olivia reports to him.
So I don't think that any of us have a bad relationship with Dr. Sullivan. We work with him all the time and have a very collegial relationship. He oversees the runs that we bring in when he's on call. He has access to our EMR, our medical records, and reviews calls as he sees fit. He and Olivia have worked to have a really dovetailed continuing education plan. So if he's doing an airway lab, you know, we end up doing the airway lab at least very close within a month or two. So they talk. They talk all the time. We all talk all the time. I don't know that there's a problem at all.
So Dr. Haysloop is his designee. So he has decided that in terms of our run reviews and our oversight, he has made it designee, and that's Dr. Haysloop. So Dr. Sullivan as countywide, Dr. Haysloop is our supervising or medical program director designee is the other term that's bandied about, and then us.
And when we did not have a supervising position, Dr. Sullivan declined us. That was not us declining him. He declined us.
Thank you, Weishan. Louise, did you have your hand up?
I was wondering if it would be appropriate to ask Chuck how is DT and how big was the bill?
The bill was $21,792 and change. Though my understanding, I don't know if it's correct, is that due to Medicare rules on that, what we would actually be on the hook for if the appeals don't work would be somewhere north of $7,000. I'm not sure on that. And she's doing well.
Thank you.
And I wish you were here, but she I couldn't get ready in time.
Okay, very good. Any other comments from the audience? Thank you, folks. Next agenda item is under unfinished business committee reports. First one is the CCC, Dr. Appleman.
I sent it to you. Basically, it was not an extremely well-attended meeting. Chuck Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah, Chuck Phillips was at his
retirement.
Chris. It was at his retirement time. He usually carries those meetings, but he was not there. There was no substitute. The main thrust of the meeting was PIMC is doing their community needs assessment, and the question of, you know, one in every 11.8 people on this island's primary language is Spanish. And I raised the question of how we address this. I did have a conversation with Carl and Lane. They had some good ideas. Could you tell us what you used to do, Lainey, over in Imperial Park?
We called it a day of health, and we'd go over there with car seats, bicycle helmets, the ambulance. We would check people's blood sugar, their EKGs. They came in and, you know, first come, first serve, waited in line for such things. Worked with the health department and IIMC. It was mostly EMS and the health department that had the bulk of the personnel. And we discovered people who were diabetic and didn't know it. Somebody whose family member came to us and asked if we could see someone in their home because they couldn't get to us. Discovered a lot of high blood pressure. And then through those things, we would just refer them on to doctors, and most of them did have a primary care physician. They just weren't getting out.
Right. And our problems with undocumented folks and that particular population not particularly wanting to expose themselves a lot in public. So I asked that question and created quite a bit of discussion. In fact, most of the meeting was on that question. And I've asked the hospital to reach out to those people, because we no longer do that program, and these people are not coming forward. My experience in working in the ED is more than one out of 11.8 people that came through the ED were Hispanic, so I think they utilize more of the emergency department. And I asked about the needs assessment, you know, how they're going to, the depth of the data they were going to get to, the breadth of the data that they were going to get to, how they're going to collect the data, how they're going to approach different populations. I did go to their meeting that was ongoing between 11 and, or 12 and 2 today, but they had not got to that question in their community health needs assessment. They're still presenting data. So I think we need to follow up on that. I think that's a big part of our population that is underserved. And I'll be proposing that as we go with our long-term plan, how we're gonna approach this. Chick gave its report. It was a pretty standard report, nothing new to report there. A bunch of reports didn't get given because there weren't people there.
We were all at the
lunch was great. Coffee was hot.
Well, good for that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Appleton. Trauma Council, Rebecca.
Trauma Council. So they met on March 14th. Quick explanation, because this is the first time we've given a report on this, is that there are 8 EMS and trauma care regions in Washington State, and San Juan Island, or San Juan, belongs to the North Region, San Juan County. And that also includes Island, Skagit, Snohomish, and Washington counties. Each region has a regional council, and the counties, including San Juan, have local councils. So the councils were established originally to ensure that the EMS trauma care system functions in a timely, safe, and appropriate manner. For instance, at the March meeting, members approved a new app for protocols, allowing them to be organized and accessed quickly by emergency responders. They also approved new members. Leslie Price is the hospital facilities position. Laney is in the at-large position. Helen Riggins is in the pre-hospital position, and I am in the elected official position. I'll also be a member in the same position on the regional council, and their next meeting is April 4th. So I'll be the liaison to the PhD and share the information about the EMS trauma system to make it basically easier to collaborate with other entities so we can duplicate efforts, and so we streamline the process of all of this information. And the other items from the March meeting were they approved to engage a CPA to assist with financial and tax issues, approving both Airlift Northwest and Island Air as voting members, moving toward the reinstatement of a quality improvement program by using Whatcom and King County's programs to reestablish this program in our county. So I'm looking forward to working on these councils, and they meet quarterly. And I'm going with Laney and Carl on April 4th.
Thank you, Rebecca. Any other reports? Next agenda item, audiovisual.
Due to the time, I believe I sent all the commissioners the report that Nathan and I did. I wonder if you would just like to consider that report and us report and get your comments next month.
Well, it's an interim report, number one, and it was well done report, so I'm certainly okay with that. Everybody else okay with that?
Yeah, I don't see any rush in investing in anything at this point, considering right. that a lot of things are up in the air.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Warren, you okay with that?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so we have suggestions under new business for additional Peace Island Medical Center services. This is a proviso of actually section 222 of the subsidy agreement between the district and Peace Island Peace Health. To allow us to suggest that Peace Island Medical Center add to their repertoire of clinical offerings. And so we do that once a year. And last year, somehow, some way, it got overlooked. But this year, some kind person, probably Pan or Nathan, said, well, we need to do that. So here it is. So we'll start with you, Mark. Any recommendations, sir?
Well, I think it's important, considering patient care, that we evaluate this helipad. And so while we're not in the position now of stating conclusions before we've studied the subject, at some point in the near future, there could be a recommendation coming out of that study.
Thank you, sir. Annalisa?
I don't have anything to add right now.
Okay. Rebecca?
I have supportive long-term care. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work, but PIMC has talked about various financial and or buildings and or support in other ways. So I think that's an ongoing thing, and the Healthcare Foundation and Evans work will probably help kind of finalize that into something a little more manageable. Also, dermatology. They used to have dermatologists here, and they don't anymore, and that's a real need on the island. That might be one of the other services they get on. Look into them anyway.
Okay. And do they have podiatry?
I would like that added to the list.
Well, podiatry?
We used to have a podiatrist at the old medical center.
Right.
Did we lose him?
Yes, we did. He
had a visiting one here. They came once a month or something.
And the Mullis Center does foot care.
Yeah, but it's not like...
I understand, yeah. But I mean, yes, for those that can't bend over far enough to cut their toenails.
Yes, they have.
It is nice that the Mullis Center has it. Yeah. I'm thinking about signing up.
That would be a good service.
The gentleman who used to serve was Dr. Thiessen.
Dr. Thiessen, he was from O'Carver.
He was a rock star. He was terrific.
They came over for many years, and they just, it was...
Finally didn't work.
Yeah.
So
those are my suggestions.
Including for that.
Yes.
Okay, very good. I have none.
Warren? I have two. Snoqualmie Valley General Hospital, which is not too far from the casino, which of course everyone knows where that's at. They have what are called transition beds. They're a critical access hospital. And they have rooms that are left over from their OBS beds that they actually use to transition people into long-term care, allowing some benefit and some buffer for those people that all of a sudden one day can't do the care of their loved one, giving them a short period of time to work on. I'd like to recommend to Peace that they look at that model and see if it works. It has problems because sometimes they don't leave and then you have problems with the feds, but they could do some due diligence and see if that helps with the transition. And if we do go with 8 and 10 people in a house out in Roach Harbor, wherever, that would help that model. So I think that they should look at that and give us a status report. And I also want to get back to the Hispanic population. I think that they need to make a dedicated program to research that and see what those needs are. Those are the two that I would ask for.
Very good. So traditionally, Pam and Nathan, you compile the recommendations or the requests.
I assume Pam will do that.
Yeah,
and submit them in toto, correct?
Yeah, and okay. Put them in a letter form and send it out to the commissioners you can all look at it and make suggestions or approve it, and then I'll send it on to PFON.
Okay. Well, Pam and Nathan, do you have suggestions as well?
The podiatry was mine.
Okay.
No, sir.
Okay. Very good. Meeting date and times. Scheduling special meetings. Frankly, I don't know what this proviso relates to. Directly, Pam, can you kind of fill us in?
Well, we had talked about November and December meetings. The December meeting is on Christmas, so I didn't think you'd want to meet on Christmas. And the November meeting is the day before Thanksgiving, so if some people plan their schedule way ahead. And then also just a report that Commissioner Smith will not be at our May meeting. I don't think y'all had any special meetings you wanted in the near future.
Not to my knowledge.
Look at that.
Okay.
So you're going to give us a proposal about the November-December meetings?
the week before, in November. Yeah, I can send out a...
That's pretty early in November. Will the financials be ready? I mean, is there any reason to
be... Yeah, it'll be a push, as we used to have them, but the following week probably would be better. I don't know.
Well, why don't you just pull the board, you know, suggest the two dates in November.
Okay.
And see what kind of reply you get.
Okay.
And I think last year we did it early and they got the financials out.
But it was a grind though.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, perfect. Anything else on that? Okay. Next agenda item is Resolution 19-503, Salmon Island EMS establishing primary auditing officer. That's housekeeping 1A. Pam?
Yes, this just puts Carl as the primary auditing officer so he can sign the financial things. And then it just leaves me as the secondary one if he's not available.
I move to approve Resolution 19-503.
Second. Discussion? All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. The next item is executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, parentheses G in parentheses. That reads to review the performance of a public employee. We're asking for 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Does that
mean bathroom time before that?
So you're
going to... Well, it depends how fast you are.
So like 4 to 4:20?
4:20, okay.
About 4:05 to 4:25.